Welcome to SwampSwami.com, and it's Friday, and that means it's time for Sweep the Swamp Cast for Friday, March 8th, 2019. This is the day where we pull all the stories that we didn't have time to get to this week and bring them to you in an audio podcast so you can sit back and enjoy more of the Swamp Swami madness for this week. Well, before we get into the sports, it's that awful weekend that you're going to lose an hour of sleep. It's daylight savings time, and it begins on Sunday, March 10th. Try to go to bed an hour earlier before all this starts on Sunday morning, but get the caffeine ready for the coming week. Here we go. It's time for a Whodat Saints fans lawsuit update. When we last left you, a New Orleans Saints fan by the name of Daryl Guillory had asked a Louisiana federal court in February to reject the NFL's bid to dismiss his complaint about a blown pass interference call that cost the Saints a shot at the Super Bowl. And he argued that season ticket holders had the right to sue because they have a contract with the team. Guillory was alleging fraud against the NFL and wanted to force the NFL to provide information about how the referees for the games are selected. Seemed like a great idea to me, just to make the NFL squirm as someone pries into the selection process for the referees. In case you forgot, in the Saints' loss that they had to the Rams, the missed call at the end of the game that cost the Saints the championship, four, not one, but four of the referees came from Southern California in the Los Angeles area. With this lawsuit underway, let me give you an update on what you missed. On February 11th, the case was reassigned to a different judge in Louisiana. It was in the U.S. District Court, and this one's under Susie Morgan, who is a Louisiana native. So you think it's looking good for the Saints fan. Then the next day on February 12th, the NFL filed a motion to dismiss the lawsuit for failure to state a claim. Then on February 25th, at the end of the month, the Saints fan came back and said he filed a motion to remand the case to a state court. I guess he was assuming that it'd be easier for him to win if he moved it to a state court. Well, then the next day, the court denied the Saints fan's motion on February 26th to move it to a Louisiana court because of something called the Class Action Fairness Act. The Saints fan, the plaintiff, is a Louisiana domiciliary, is what it says. The notice of removal states that the defendants, Bill Vinovich, is domiciled in Iowa. These are the referees. Gary Cavalletto in California, and Todd Prukop is also domiciled in California. Anyway, to wrap up this story, and it looks like it's over now, on March the 1st, an order was issued by the judge, and pursuant to federal rule civil procedure, the action has been dismissed without prejudice by each party. Each will bear its own cost, expenses, and its own attorney's fees. Judge Susie Morgan has closed the book on this, March the 1st, 2019. So sadly, it looks like the second and final lawsuit brought by New Orleans Saints fans against the NFL has been flushed down the proverbial legal commode. It would have been fun to see the NFL be forced to open up their secrets into the world of how these four referees from Southern California were selected to referee a football game involving the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC Championship game. This is the end of the line for Saints fans to try to get even with the NFL for that blown call. At least the Rams were embarrassed by the Patriots in the big game. More football, you ask? Sure. The Association of American Football, the AAF, the co-founder and the former executive of the NFL, Bill Polian, has a great idea on what he wants the league to become. A minor league for the NFL. He said this week that there have been informal talks between the NFL and the AAF about the NFL loaning some younger players to the new AAF league. That's the Association of American Football. Like third-string quarterbacks and players from the bottom of rosters and NFL practice squads, for example. The AAF enters its fifth week of play this week with the Orlando Apollos, coached by the old head ball coach at Florida, Steve Spurrier, remaining the only unbeaten team at 4-0. All four teams in the Western Conference are tied with 2-2 records after 4 weeks of play. The AAF attendance, though, hasn't been very good for most of the teams in the league, which is bad news. The weather, of course, hasn't helped either. League attendance for most of the teams is about, we'll be nice and call it 15,000 a game. The best attendance seen around the league at this point has been in San Antonio, where the Commanders have averaged about 27,000 per home game. It's time for the football fans to step it up quickly as the bills are starting to mount for this new football league. In case you wanted to watch, they are on TV depending on your cable options. So at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, it's the 4-0 Orlando Apollos playing at Birmingham, who is 3-1. On Saturday night, the NFL Network will have a 7 o'clock game between the 2-2 Salt Lake Stallions and the 2-2 San Diego Fleet. On Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the CBS Sports Network, you can watch the 1-3 Memphis Express against the 1-3 Atlanta Legends. And then rounding out the AAF weekend schedule, should be a pretty good game on Sunday night at 7 o'clock on the NFL Network as the 2-2 San Antonio Commanders take it out to the Arizona Hotshots, who are also 2-2. Did you say you wanted more football news? Okay, let's try this one from today's headlines. Suspended Dallas Cowboys lineman David Irving says he is quitting the NFL until the marijuana policy changes. Irving was basically just handed his third substance abuse violation in 4 seasons. He said, "Basically, guys, I quit. I know they're talking about a suspension and all this other nonsense. Well, I'm out of there. I'm not going to do this S anymore." Well, the Cowboys decided to move on from Irving after a tumultuous 2018 season that began with him missing off-season training programs, dealing with personal issues, including a custody battle for his daughter. He was then suspended by the NFL for violating the drug test. He stayed away from training camp last year to get his personal affairs in order, but the problems persisted when he returned to the team this past season after missing the first 4 games. He ended up playing 2 games before suffering a high ankle sprain. Well, he never played another game for the Cowboys, rarely showed up for practices. Sources confirmed that he missed multiple mandatory drug tests while he was away, so the suspension came as no surprise. Hey, Mr. Cowboys, if your employer, like most employers, is willing to pay you, I don't know, $2.9 million this year and tells you that you can't smoke doobies on the job and keep your job, you kind of deserve what you're getting right now. Maybe he could join this record group if they're still around. Okay, more football, you ask? Yes, I've got even one more. You remember the Chicago Bears place kicker who had the unfortunate habit of hitting one of the goalposts with his field goal attempts? Actually, former Auburn kicker Cody Parkey hit the uprights once and then doinked it off the crossbar at the bottom at the end of the Bears playoff game this season. The Bears are now cutting Cody Parkey. The good news, though, for him is he had a $6 million signing bonus last year he gets to keep. His replacement, though, that's what makes this story. His replacement is former University of Pittsburgh kicker. His name, I'm not making this up, Chris Blewett. B-L-E-W-I-T-T. Blewett, Blewett, a free agent with no NFL experience, won a field goal competition last month in Phoenix, and the Bears announced on Wednesday that they had signed him to a football contract. Assuming he makes the team, NFL announcers and writers are going to really love this guy's name. Can't you hear it now? The field goal is no good by Chris Blewett. Aww. And finally, a tip of the sports cap today to sports writer Dan Jenkins. Was known for his work at Sports Illustrated, and he was also at Golf Digest, and he also wrote several classic fictional sports books, such as football's Semi-Tough, and the golf book Dead Solid Perfect, which happened to be the inspiration for the 1980s movie Caddyshack. Well, anyway, Dan Jenkins died on Thursday at the age of 89. After a varsity golf career at TCU and writing at the Fort Worth Press and then later the Dallas Times-Herald, Dan Jenkins joined Sports Illustrated back in 1963 and worked there for about 2 decades. He wrote more than 500 stories for the publication, which was considered a record. Jenkins then retired from SI in 1985, and he began writing more sports books while also working for Golf Digest, where he continued writing all the way up to his death. Dan Jenkins, gone at the age of 89. That'll wrap it up for this Sweep the Swampcast for Friday, March 8th, 2019. Have a great weekend. Get some rest because daylight savings time is coming Sunday. See you next week.
What do you say we bust up this joint, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, you two should get a room, you know? Hey, Ringo, play something hot, will you? And you guys, take some more lessons. Hey, Judge, give someone else a chance, huh, you lucky devil? Come here, honey. Hey, loosen up, will you? You're a lot of woman, you know that? Hey, you want to make $14 the hard way?
Ah! You! You're no gentleman.
I'm no doorknob either, all right?
I never want to see that man here again.